from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
So, Ursula, I was the auctioneer this weekend at the Renton Chamber of Commerce. It was their Spring Fling. And before the event started, this lady comes up to me and she says, G. Scott, I listen to your show every day. I said, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Where's Ursula?
need to be bringing me along to these events.
So this is what I was thinking. I was thinking about this. I was like, whenever I go out into the community and I'm out and about and I'm doing these different events, right? They don't say, hi, G. Scott. Where's Lillian? They say, where's Ursula first?
I love it.
Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning. Happy spring to everybody. Today's going to be the first day of spring.
Hey.
You know, got a little bit of rain. That's okay. We had a taste of spring this weekend.
Uh-huh.
That was beautiful.
Oh, beautiful.
So I'm just already in a great mood. As always, we want you to connect with us on our state roofing text line, 888-973-5476. 888-973-CHIRO. And again, I'm going to say 888-973-5476. 888-973-CHIRO. Heard from a couple of listeners who say we always give our text line numbers out so quickly. And so I'm going to try to do it a little slower to make sure that everyone can take part.
They miss out. They hear the 888.
Yes.
Instead of, they used to
exactly.
They used to the 1-800. Yeah. All right. Time to get the people to vote. Ursula's top news stories of the day brought to you by Economy Fence. Ooh, no. Brought to you by Wayscar 40 Susu in Auburn.
A black Seattle police detective has filed a $10 million claim against the police department, alleging years of racial and gender discrimination. Detective Cookie Bolden has worked for SPD for 43 years. And during that time, she says she's had to deal with a hostile work environment and racist remarks by white supervisors. Her attorney is James Bible.
Cookie Bolden loves her job. She loves working as a Seattle police officer. She's dedicated to the children in her community and the people that find themselves in the city of Seattle. She's heartbroken that she's in this place where she feels like the only way that there can be authentic change in the Seattle Police Department is to bring this action.
Bible tells King 5 News that in public, SPD has praised the work that she's done to build a bridge between the police department and communities of color in the South Precinct.
The reality is that she's faced hostility from her coworkers, from her superiors, that she's encountered dynamic racism.
And the Seattle Police Department has referred all comment to the Seattle City Attorney's Office, which has not seen the claim yet. This is the first step in a potential lawsuit. And so I'm sure we will hear more.
Oh, this story's got legs. This story's got more than 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 legs. This is someone, Detective Cookie, who is very, very known in the community. If you guys have been and seen the Chess Park right off of Rainier, you guys know that she's really heavily involved in that. You know that she's been on the force since 1980. Listen to that, y'all. Detective Cookie. I call her Detective Cookie. Her name's Denise, but I call her Detective Cookie. She's been on with SPD since 1980. That's how long she's been there. And here's something that stood out to me in that article, Ursula, that I wanted to really bring up. And it talked about, in addition to the discrimination, it talks about how she alleges that, of course, the facing of retaliation after complaining about a coworker who brought his pet dog to work, setting up a dog pen and gate to where she had to move it so that she can access the supplies necessary for her job. After taking the issue to her supervisors, she said feces and dog food were left at her locker. This was alleged.
Which is awful. But there were other things that she also brought up. And I look at that and I think, okay, she is someone who has been portrayed as a role model, as she should be, because I know that I think Erin Grinnell did a story when they dedicated that park to her.
Uh-huh.
I just drove by it recently,
uh-huh,
and I was reminded. I said, "Oh God, you know, that's a really cool thing where you see that the someone who works within the South Precinct has been doing all this work to try to build that bridge."
Right.
But there was one comment in this article in the Seattle Times about how in the lawsuit, they're saying that instead of embracing that, they actually looked at it as, you know, she's choosing between the community and the police department.
Right.
To which my mind went, like, aren't we supposed to be all on the same page?
Yeah, good point. Very good point. Another thing that really, that this isn't just this story right here. This is just altogether. And I'm learning something, Ursula, since you and I have been doing this show when we were talking about lawsuits. The one thing we know about lawsuits, we know that there is a part called discovery, right? And in discovery, you find out all types of information. And even before you bring a lawsuit, sometimes you have text messages and sometimes you have email. Well, I've noticed a theme, and the theme is this, is a lot of the people, the decision makers, the management and people that just in corporate America in general, they don't quite get technology yet. And what I mean by that is this, a lot of things sometimes are on email or on text messages. Well, I think we saw how those text messages were erased here in this city, right? We know about those text messages that got erased. Well, let's talk about emails, too. I'm bringing that up to say sometimes it's not even word of mouth. Sometimes there are actual receipts where that comes out about this. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with this story. I'm looking forward to finding out more. I think this is a very sad story either way, because you're talking about someone who has been a part of the department since 1980. We're talking about Detective Cookie. And so when you see that Seattle Times article, you're blown away. You're not like, yeah, you're not. There is no happiness to this story. It's sadness all the way around.
For sure. The bomb squad was called out to SeaTac Airport last night after a large untagged bag was discovered at the Alaska Airlines ticket counter. Mm. And as Cairo 7 TV's Graham Johnson reports, that bag caused chaos for hours.
Big confusion at SeaTac.
And there's a big bite.
A suspicious package investigation shut down much of the airport and left passengers trying to figure out where to check in.
London would be this one.
Thomas Smith looked likely to miss his flight to London.
Awful. Absolutely awful. Just there's no organization.
Port of Seattle police say around 4:45 p.m., someone left a package behind in the Alaska Airlines ticketing area. That brought out the bomb squad. Just before 7 p.m., we heard a blast.
Now, it turns out that bag had scuba and fishing gear in it. And because of it, there was for a while a 2-mile traffic backup outside the airport. Half of the security checkpoints were closed, causing wait times of over 75 minutes. And a bunch of people missed their flights, but it's not clear how many.
Well, I don't want the airports to I want them to do their job. We could sit here and talk about, like, my buddy Duran was stuck on the tarmac down there in L.A., and he couldn't get here. He was telling me, he was texting me in real time saying that he was stuck out there for an hour because of what's going on at SeaTac. That's how I first found out about what's going on. Well, Ursula, since 9/11, that's all we hear all the time. Excuse me, don't leave packages and or don't leave your bag unattended.
Yes.
We hear that all the time.
Yes.
So if they see something, they're suspicious about it, I want them to do their job. Don't we all?
Yeah, so we were having a discussion off the air about who in their right mind still leaves bags unattended, packages unattended, given how many times we have these warnings and we've been reminded, and now you've got something like this.
Yeah.
To which Chef said,
I wouldn't even, yeah, Chef was making me mad.
I've traveled with kids. I've left the stroller, you know, in a bag outside while I'm taking the kid to the bathroom. What are you supposed to do when you're planning on checking your bag and your card gets declined at the gate? Well, guess I got to leave it here. I mean, I'm saying that seeing a stray bag at the airport is not that uncommon. I was surprised that it went to this level. I suppose the scuba gear, if they looked at it on imaging, would have looked pretty suspicious, but blowing it up in the airport was also a surprise. Mm. But you're trying to paint me as the irresponsible guy who leaves bags all around the airport, right?
I want to take this.
No, but I'm just, can you imagine because of this being in that line or missing your flight? I mean, I'm just looking at the chaos that it caused. And so, no, I'm not, I agree with, yeah, the airport has to do it. Yeah. I mean, some people might think, is that overkill? Well, you know, if it turns out it is something, then yeah. It'll be like, why didn't you do something?
Can I just tell you guys something that I want to give an airport complaint right now.
Uh-huh.
When you walk into the airport and you're getting ready to leave and all that, you got to go through this and the ticket counter, and you have to go through TSA, and you have all this stuff, and you can't have peanut butter, and you can't have all these things, and you can't have big old shampoos or over 3.7 ounces. I mean, all the security in the world. But then when it gets down to baggage claim, it's like, ugh. It's like, whatever. Like, I always feel that the baggage claim is the most free-for-all situation in the world.
Everyone jockeying for position to get it right as it comes out.
So weird and not connected to every other experience in the airport. That is the most free-for-all. Anybody can come in, grab your bag, all types of stuff. That's all. I just want to get that off my chest.
Just again, why, if I can, I just don't check any baggage. How's that? Okay. Well, we start this week with a clearer picture of who will not be running for governor in 2024. King County Executive Dow Constantine has now sent an email to his supporters saying, after giving it thorough consideration, he has concluded that he would not be throwing his hat in the ring. In an interview with the Seattle Times, Constantine also said that he had a candid conversation with Governor Inslee in the last couple of months and said he came away from that meeting thinking that Inslee might run for a fourth term. And we have also heard from Pierce County Executive Bruce Dammeyer, who says while he is flattered by all the praise and support he's been getting, he has no plans to run for governor next year because he wants to keep his focus on Pierce County.
Yep. Dow Constantine letting everybody know on Friday, letting Jim Bruner know that he's not running, in my opinion, equals, you ready for this? I'm about to mess up some of y'all work day. I apologize, but here you go. I think that means Governor Jay Inslee is running again.
Yeah, that's certainly what Constantine thinks.
He's running again. Some of y'all just messed up your Friday. You probably might just go turn around and go back home.
Bob Ferguson and Hillary Franz are other names that have popped up for Democrats.
Okay.
They have not said anything. Governor Inslee, apparently, the idea is if he is going to run again for a fourth term, it would be announced. He would announce it after the legislative session. So we've got a couple. But, you know, when we were talking with Michael Medved on Friday, Michael pointed out it does seem like Governor Inslee really does enjoy his job. And he won pretty handily this last time around. So,
yeah,
why would he not? Although, again, I'm on the record saying I would prefer that we get new blood. Okay, if you make $100,000 a year in Seattle, it really amounts to $49,000 after you adjust for taxes and cost of living. Mm-hmm. That's according to a report by Smart Asset, which compared the after-tax income from 76 of the largest cities in the U.S. And according to this study, Seattle comes in at number 67, with $48,959 being your take-home pay. If you want your dollar to go the furthest, you should live in Memphis, Tennessee, where your take-home would be more than $86,000. $100,000 gets you the least amount in New York City, with take home less than $36,000 after considering taxes and the cost of living.
Yo, the $100,000 in that we were talking about being $49,000 here in Seattle It 100% makes sense. Let's just talk about just the grocery store and restaurants, and especially restaurants. That's when you notice. Ursula, when you're out of town, when you go to some places and you get ready to go have breakfast somewhere and the bill comes and you're like, wait, whoa, that bill was $36?
Yeah, you know for what I mean? Two of us, it's getting closer to $100 each and every time.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, I don't know if you were here that day. I think I told Chef. When you leave the house in Seattle, in this area, if you're not going to work, but you're leaving the house, that's a minimum of $100. That's a minimum wherever you're going. That's $100. If you're not going to work, that's most likely going to be $100. I don't know if it's going to be you going to the grocery store. I don't know if you're going to get gas.
If it's Costco, it's $300.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, did you know, even if you thought, well, I'm just going to go, let me just get a McDonald's kind of breakfast. Well, even the cost there, I mean, people are complaining now. The Big Mac, have you...
It's up there to $5.
Over $5.
Over $5.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Overrated burger, by the way. Did you like the Big Mac ever?
Yeah, in college, there was a time I liked the Big Mac. I think there was just...
It was never better than a quarter pounder with cheese. Quarter pounder with cheese.
I'm going to agree with you on that one. But
yeah.
I don't know, there's something about... I think it's that special sauce. Okay, still ahead.
Oh, you're looking forward to talking this.
Okay, yeah. You know me. This is my favorite topic. History could be made this week because former President Donald Trump is predicting that he's going to be arrested tomorrow, and he's now calling for protests. So we're going to get into that after the newscast coming up at 9:30. This is the G and Ursula Show. The G and Ursula Show. Thank you so much for joining us on this Monday morning, the first day of spring. And U.S. presidential history could be made this week. Former President Donald Trump might be indicted by a Manhattan grand jury following an investigation into hush money paid for an alleged sexual encounter with adult film star Stormy Daniels. And in social media posts this weekend, the former president referred to the allegations as old and fully debunked. And he also urged his supporters to, quote, protest, protest, protest.
At issue is the investigation in New York over hush money payments when Trump was first running for office. Former Vice President Pence responded to the possible charges.
Feels like a politically charged prosecution here.
On ABC, Pence also said he's not concerned about Trump's call for his supporters to protest.
The American people have a constitutional right to peaceably assemble.
Trump supporters who protested and also stormed the U.S. Capitol on January 6th shouted, "Hang Mike Pence." Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
I think in our country, if a former president gets arrested, I think it's bad in general. In general. Now, with that being said, Ursula, I want to say some things before I give an opinion and weigh in on this. And I want to say this. On December 12th of 2018, Michael Cohen, he was sentenced to 3 years in federal prison in order to pay a $50,000 fine. Yes, he was guilty of tax evasion, but one of the things he was guilty of was campaign finance violations, which stems from what happened with Stormy Daniels. So if you have sex with a porn star, that's really nobody's business. It really isn't. However, if you pay that porn star to keep quiet about it so that you can win an election, and then you, here's a part, reimburse yourself for that payment and then lie about the whole thing while your own attorney, Michael Cohen, that I gave you information on, goes to jail for that very thing. If Michael Cohen goes to jail and there is connection to you, then you, my friend, have to go to jail. It's not rocket science here, Ursula.
Well, you bring up some good points. So one of the things, and I was trying to listen to some of the analysis about this particular case and what could be at stake, and just to, you know, because there's so much going on when it, in regard to the former president. So I think it's hard to keep track. But in this particular case, Michael Cohen, the attorney that you just mentioned, G, reportedly gave Stormy Daniels $130,000 to prevent her from speaking about that alleged affair or whatever you want to call it with Trump in 2006. And the problem is that because of the non-disclosure agreement that benefited Trump's campaign, it was an improper donation. So that would be the whole case, right? The key witness, who is going to be the key witness?
Michael Cohen.
Exactly. So, you know, they're going to be bringing up credibility, et cetera, et cetera. But what has happened now with former President Trump imploring his supporters to protest, there are a lot of people in law enforcement who are really worried about what could potentially happen given January 6th.
I've been seeing some of that, and there was they were protesting outside of Trump's hotel out there in Las Vegas. And
small group, though.
It's very small. I got to tell you, Ursula, here's the part that makes me sad. I'm not even mad. It makes me sad that Donald Trump has so many people that back him, support him, and no matter what he says, no matter what. I'm okay in understanding with that. I actually have empathy for those people. Here's where I have the biggest problem. The amount of people that get paid, listen to me now, that get paid and they know Donald Trump is not telling the truth, but yet they get on there and it is such a moneymaker that they talk to the people, and the people that support Donald Trump listen to the people that get paid and like, yeah, 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 and they get all excited. When off the air or off away from TV, they know about the truth about Donald Trump, but they don't want to do that because it takes away from their paychecks and or their ratings. That's the part where I have a very hard time with. And you, as someone who's been in news in 30-something years, I'm quite sure it bothers you too.
Oh, absolutely. One of the people who used to be just exactly like that was Michael Cohen himself. Now that guy can't stop talking about Trump. I mean, he has got he's so angry, understandably, given what he's gone through. So, you know, that is the person who is going to have the most information. But just right now, as we are speaking, the NYPD, they're hosting a meeting right now. They've got the Chief Department of Public Safety, head of Secret Service. They're all meeting right now because they are trying to figure out, okay, if he is going to be arrested, how do we do it? Can we do it virtually to avoid, you know, additional danger? Because, you know, again, there's fear that it's going to cause quite the spectacle. And then, you know, what are we? I mean, there was a point in time over the weekend you were a little concerned about what could erupt.
Yeah, I'm definitely concerned because there are a lot of people, right? We've seen in the past. Let's go back to, by the way, on Netflix right now, you guys can go see what happened down in Waco, Texas. Remember when David Koresh was the guy and the standoff? For some reason, when their supporters, right, the David Koresh supporters and what happened down in Oregon, it gets real. It's not no peaceful anything. It can go all the way extreme. And when I say extreme, I'm talking about for some reason where guns are ablazing. So, yeah, there is real concern. I think there should be concern for this entire country. Former President Trump said just recently, and he continues to tweet, and he continues to say, don't stand for this. Go protest, protest, protest. Take our country back.
I'm encouraged, though. I'm encouraged because if this had happened 2 years ago, you probably would have seen some people out in the streets and you probably would have seen some violence at this point already. But I think the veil has kind of fallen off the eyes of a lot of Trump supporters. I'm reminded of that Baked Alaska guy who went to prison for the January 6th attack. And he was quoted telling The Washington Post, "I can't believe I went to jail for an NFT salesman." I mean, there was a new Quinnipiac poll last week that showed after the revelations about Fox News and their hosts willingly and wittingly bringing on people who lied about the election, that 41% of Republicans think that Fox News should be held accountable for that. Hmm. There is a shrinking percentage of Americans who are buying what Trump is selling. And he tried to sell something this weekend. This is going to be the pillar of his reelection campaign is they are coming after me. And if they can come after me, they're going to come after you. Well, he released that news and it was pretty much crickets amongst his supporters.
And that's the part that
I'm glad you guys are encouraged. Can I ask you guys a question before we leave out of this break?
Yeah.
If right now the GOP was to put a person out there to run for president, who would that person be?
According to the polls, it would be Trump.
Right.
So we'll see. But we're still a year away from when that would happen. So
Paula Abdul said, two steps forward and two steps back. Come out there.
Okay, that's a first for the G and Ursula Show, quoting Paula Abdul.
Coming up next here on the G and Ursula Show, there in hockey, a hockey goalie opts not to wear a LGBTQ-themed warm-up jersey on team's pride night. Well, we need to talk about that. We do that next. It's G and Ursula. Everybody, happy Monday to you. Hey, whoa, happy first day of spring to all of you. That's right.
I just have a bounce in my step automatically, just thinking it is the first day of spring.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, this weekend, it gave a little teaser,
yes,
didn't it? Yeah, a little teaser. We need to talk, y'all. The goalie for the San Jose Sharks, James Reimer, made headlines for refusing to wear a pride-themed warm-up jersey before a game on Saturday night. Quote, for all 13 years of my NHL career, I have been a Christian, not just in title, but in how I choose to live my life daily. I have a personal faith in Jesus Christ who died on the cross for my sins and in response asked me to love everyone and follow him, he said via the team's Twitter account. I have no hate in my heart for anyone and I have always strived to treat everyone that I encounter with respect and kindness. In this specific instance, I am choosing not to endorse something that is counter to my personal convictions, which are based on the Bible, the highest authority in my life. The San Jose Sharks said they supported Reimer's decision. Ursula, your thoughts on this topic?
So as I read through it last night, I was thinking, well, it's disappointing that in this day and age, there are still people who believe that people shouldn't be able to love who they love. That said, I think that he explained, you know, all his reasons, although I thought it was unusual that all of it was in caps. His entire post was in capitalized letters. And so he's bringing attention to the fact that he is not going to be wearing the LGBTQ insignia or the symbols and the flag while the rest of his teammates are. You know, I think it puts him in a difficult position. Should he be able to do that? If the team says we're okay with it, I mean, I guess the public will determine whether they're okay with what the team is saying is okay.
Yeah.
But he's standing by his convictions. The team is allowing him to do that. He's explained it, you know, so my reaction is I'm disappointed, but I guess I'm at the point where you can't force someone to do something like, I mean, unless you say, hey, you know, this is the team rule and this is what we're doing and you don't do it, you're not playing.
Right.
But that's not what they decided.
Yeah. You know, I commented a lot about this over the weekend and a lot of people assumed that because of my, I was totally against this. And because of that, people believe that I'm not a believer. They believe that I'm not a Christian or anything like that, which is odd. But I want to start off with this. First, let me say this. To discriminate and be homophobic and then hide behind the shield of Christianity makes me nauseous. You claim you love everyone, but you don't want to wear any pride shirt showing acceptance of a certain community. At some point, I would love to see more people, Christians, whoever, not pick and choose when you want to apply the standard of love. Mm. I never met Jesus. I'm not going to lie. I've read a lot about Jesus. Went to school learning about Jesus. Here's the Jesus that I've come to know and understand. Everything that he did was from a place of love. Jesus said, quote, am I wrong, right or wrong on this? Love your neighbor as yourself. He said that. I'm not putting the words in the mouth. He said, according to the Bible, love your neighbor as yourself. Look, let me say again, because some people misunderstand me. And I don't like to come out, and I don't feel like I should have to come out and tell you what I believe in order to have an opinion on defending a certain community in this country. And so when the hockey team in San Jose, when they come out and say they support that decision, you're basically telling the entire LGBTQ community that, hey, the highest authority, which is the Bible, does not accept you. To which I say, wrong. Let me repeat again. Don't tell me and talk to me about Jesus if you're not talking about from a place of love. That is the standard. That's where the teaching comes from. You'd think in 2023 we'd be better about this, but for some reason you guys keep holding out with that hate. And again, you discriminate and you hate, and then you hide behind the shield of Christianity, which is wrong. You want to be a good Christian? Why don't you start applying the thing about love? That you can do a Christianity good thing on that one.
Well, they try and hide behind the whole, hate the sin, love the sinner. But if somebody's born that way and God made them that way, shouldn't you just love them, period?
I think so. Okay, G, I wanted
who
to...
Who did Jesus eat with? Who did Jesus eat with? Chef, who did Jesus eat with?
The poor and prostitutes. Thieves, felons. Yeah.
Ursa, what you got? I love the way I love your look right now because it's calming. Your look is calming to me right now.
Well, I just think you said it beautifully. Now I want to ask you, so should this goalie sit down, not play?
No, it's up,
or not say anything?
It's up to the team. What do you mean? Should he not say anything?
Yeah. Exactly. It's the team decided. We're okay with you sharing your beliefs, and you're not going to be forced to wear it. So I think now it's ultimately the public decides.
Sure. They should. The public should decide. Ursula, I just want to know. I just want to know when we're just going to be okay with accepting everyone. Everyone is not like you.
I agree.
Come up next. What's new at 10? It's G and Ursula.